Christine. For those who don't know, my name is Brian. I am the youth leader here at this church. One of the things that I love about my job is that we get to dig in on a regular basis with some of the questions that students have about the bigger things in life, the questions about God and about faith and about life. And what you discover is, and I think part of the thing that I love the most about the Bible is that the Bible invites us to ask questions. And the deeper that we dig into Scripture, the more that God begins to reveal some of the answers to some of the bigger questions that we have in life. Today I want to look at three questions with you. The first question is, why the beauty? And then we want to talk about why the ugly, and then what's the resolution? And all three of these questions really come to the forefront in one simple yet compelling parable that Jesus tells in Matthew 13. So turn with me to Matthew 13, starting at verse 24. You'll find this on page 947 if you're using the Bibles in your pews. Before we read, let me just offer a word of prayer. Dear gracious God, we come before you and we open up your word here today. God, we're reminded that this is your living word and that these words that are written speak so true today into our life. May your words be alive to us and may we hear what you have to say to us today. God, I just ask that you just calm my nerves, that you will speak through me and that I will become less so that you can become more. May your presence be felt here in this message here this morning. Lord, this we pray, amen. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed seed among the wheat and went away. When the weeds sprouted and he formed heads, and the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring them to my barn." We start with the first question, why the beauty? And I think it's important that we start with this question because for all the times in our life where we sit there and we just feel overwhelmed by life and we just get stuck in these broken moments of life, we find ourselves calling out to God and just saying, "Where are you? Why do we have to deal with this?" I think we feel these moments and we have these moments, and yet it's so easy to overlook all the beauty and the wonder that is around us. In fact, I would make an argument that the greater mystery and the greater wonder is in the fact that these things exist. And the greater beauty is that these things even work. I don't know how much beauty and wonder is the fact that things break. Take our phones, for example. What's more amazing to you, the fact that someday this thing will break, or the fact that this thing even exists and does the things that it does? Think about creation. What's more amazing, the fact that creation is broken and then we helped break it, or the fact that creation exists and that every morning it wakes up and it does what it does, and every season it is what it is? There is so much beauty and wonder and mystery, and this creation that we have is filled with beauty, order, and wonder, and the question is, why? Jesus starts off the parable today with this verse. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. The reason that we have so much good and beauty in this world is because this is the way that God intended it to be. It takes us right back to the very beginning in Genesis, when God started creating. Genesis 1, verse 1 tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as he created, he just looked down and he said, "It's good." He created some more and he said, "It was good." 7 times we read that it was good. May we be reminded today that the reason we see beauty and the reason that we see order is because this is the way God intended it to be. God created it to be good. And even now, as we sit in a world that is so broken, we can see moments, we can see beauty all around us. We have these moments where we look out and we see nature and the beauty that we see around us, and it can just take our breath away. I asked Steve Coy to send me some pictures that he's taken because he's just so good at capturing some of these images. Here's a picture that he took of the sunset. Isn't this just beautiful? It's a picture of a waterfall. The changing of the seasons. How many times do we just sit in the wonder and just take this stuff in? Picture of Lake Michigan, the beauty we have around us. Even the Lions game last week was a thing of beauty. Who knew, right? The truth is that we are swimming in God's beauty. Everywhere we look, we are surrounded by God's beauty, and how easy it is for us to take this for granted. And God, in Scripture, in the Bible, reminds us that all this beauty is grounded in a Creator. This idea, this belief, when it was first introduced back in the days of the Bible, was just so radically different than anything else that was out there. The most common and well-accepted belief at the time of the Bible, the reason that people believed in the creation, the most accepted understanding of how creation began, was this idea of Enuma Elish. It was the theory of the Babylonians. The Babylonians believed that there was, before there was creation, there was the heavens and there was the gods. They believed that there was two particular gods. One of them was called Marduk, who's that warrior-looking one right there in the top middle. And then there's another god called Tiamat, who's this dragon-looking one. These two gods got in this big, giant battle, and they battled in this epic battle. And when it was all said and done, that warrior-looking god defeated the dragon-looking god. He picked it up, he threw it out of the heavens so he can stand on it in victory. And it was out of the carcass, it was out of the remains of that dead dragon god that earth started to form. It was out of the blood and the mess that all this beauty began to appear. That humans and mankind began to get formed out of the bones of this dead god. No wonder we live in a world with so much mess. If everything that we have is the result of the mess up above spilling down into this world, that we are here and all this beauty is here because it grew out of a dead god, a defeated god, out of its remains, no wonder there's brokenness. No wonder there's mess. No wonder there's chaos. This creation was born out of chaos. This creation is, the beauty is accidental. And as crazy as we find this story, and as tough as it is to wrap our mind around it, I would argue that some of the themes that we see in some of the theories of how creation began in modern science, some of the theories we still accept today still have some of these same themes. Because even with all the advancements that we make, even with all the understanding that we have, we're still created with a theory that says that all creation began out of one chaotic event, that all the beauty and order that we see is more accidental and random than we think. This is Professor Richard Dawkins. He is a professor over at Oxford University. He's one of the leading writers and speakers on the place of science and reason in the modern atheistic movement. This is what he says. I gotta read it up here. In a universe of blind physical forces and genetic replication, some people will get hurt, others lucky, and there is no rhyme, reason, or justice. The universe we observe has precisely the properties we should expect if there is no design, no purpose, no evil, and no good. DNA neither knows nor cares. DNA just is, and we dance to the music. Richard Dawkins reminds us that this universe, there is no rhyme or reason to it. That it is here and is based off of chaos and randomness to it. And I want to be very clear on something. I am not here to debate this, because this very well might be true. Richard Dawkins has a tendency to be pretty much on the extreme, and I think we make the mistake that sometimes we put God on one end and science on the other, when I deeply believe that our God is big enough and powerful enough that his fingerprints could be all over this, and that God can do it this way and he can do it that way. I deeply believe that God and science can coexist in one beautiful, wonderful thing. So I'm not here to debate whether or not this is even true, but I want you to notice the worldview. I want you to notice just the fact that we're presented with an explanation that all this is born out of chaos, that there is no meaning, there is no rhyme or reason, which is why I find the story and what we're told in the Bible so compelling. Because the Bible reminds us that we are not here on accident, but that we were created, and we were created good, that we are here, this creation exists because it's done so on purpose and is created with a purpose. That you and I, that we are created on purpose and are created with a purpose. For every student that is here, I want you to understand this is why we spend so much time talking about this in GEMS, in cadets, in youth group, in Sunday school. Because I deeply, deeply believe that if we can begin to grasp this concept, if we can begin to understand that we are not just a collection of physics and biology, but that we are created in the image of our living God, that we are created good, and that there is meaning to our life and there is purpose to our life, I deeply believe this can impact the way that we look at ourselves. This will impact the way that we look at the world, and this will impact the way that we treat our neighbors. If we can just begin to grasp just how deeply loving and how much purpose there is to this world and to our lives, I think it can begin to change everything. The story of creation reminds us that there is a creator and that all this is here because that was the intention. God planned it that way. He created it that way. And the question is, why the ugly? Because as real and as easy it is to look around and see all the beauty that's in this world, it's just as easy to look around and see all the brokenness in this world. There is so much brokenness and ugly in this world, and we're growing up side by side, and the question is, why? What do we? And this is what Jesus continues to say. While everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, the weeds also appeared. This verse is just a strong reminder that Satan is real and he's causing trouble. For all the times that we want to cry out, we want to blame God for all the things that are going on in this world, this is a reminder that Satan and evil and the devil are just as real. Pastor Corey talked about this last week. He said, it's hard to talk about this. It's hard to wrap our minds around an idea that's so abstract. But the reality is that we have so much that the evil and the evil forces of this world are very much a part of our everyday journey. And we feel the impact of that every single day. So we end up with a world that's got all this good and all this bad growing together. And we know that the bad things of this world can just start to suck the life out of the good things. And we probably have seen this before. We probably have seen people that we know that have been so full of life, all of a sudden get caught up in the ugly parts of this world and just see, and we can watch the life just get sucked right out of them. We probably know people like that. In fact, we know full well that the ugly parts of this world can impact our life. Some of you here have walked through the ugliest parts that this world could offer. Some of you have sat there and watched your child die. Some of you have sat there and watched someone that you love die of cancer. Some of you see this messiness and this brokenness in your marriage. You see it in your life, and you see it in your family, and you see it in your friends. We can't escape it. We live in a world that is full of this ugly stuff, and some of us, and sometimes in our life, we need to walk through the journey, the ugliest journeys this life could offer. And the truth is that no matter how much we dig into this question, and no matter how much time we spend unpacking this and how well we try to explain this, it will never be enough to take away the pain that we feel, and it'll never be enough to make things right. One of the things I love about the Bible is that it not only gives us an explanation for why there's so much pain and ugliness in the world, it is brutally honest about it. You cannot read Scripture and not be overwhelmed by the fact there are so many times in Scripture where people are crying out to God in the midst of their most broken moments. Psalm 23 is one of the most beloved psalms in all of Scripture. It's a beautiful picture of the beauty and the grace that we find. And it starts off, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and he restores my soul." This is the beauty of our God. But if we flip back one chapter, Psalm 22 starts off this way, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And it goes into this great big lament about how I'm stuck in this brokenness and I'm dealing with the ugly things of this world. And God, where are you in all this? This is just a beautiful reminder that we can come to God exactly where we're at. If we're in a good spot, a spot of peace and tranquility, we can come to God in that moment. But if we're hurt and we're broken and we're dealing with the ugly things of this world, we are invited to come to the cross just as we are. And for the record, this is a beautiful picture of what church is supposed to look like. The Bible not only gives us an explanation for the ugliness, it is brutally honest about it. The question that I want to wrestle with today is this the way it ought to be? Let me put that quote from Richard Dawkins up there one more time. If we're going to buy into this theory, then the universe that we are watching is precisely the way it is supposed to be. Is this the way it's supposed to be? Because I would argue that this is not okay. The fact that we have cancer and we have lost loved ones to cancer, that is not okay. That is not the way it's supposed to be. The fact that some of you have been a victim of abuse, this is not the way that it's supposed to be. The fact that some people go without clean water, the fact that some kids are being sold and being sold into sex trafficking. This is not the way that it ought to be. It is not okay that you were abused. It is not okay that you never got the child that you prayed for time and time again. It is not okay that the child that you once had will never be here for another Christmas or Thanksgiving. This is not the way it was created, and this is the way, not the way it ought to be. Yet if we buy into this theory, this is saying that exactly the way it's supposed to be. Leads me to this. The pain and the suffering that we see in this world is not evidence that God is absent. It's evidence that things just aren't the way they ought to be. So what do? We get to this point of what is the resolution? What's the plan? The disciples come to him. The servants go up to the master and they ask him, "Do you want us to go and pull those weeds up?" And how nice would that be? How nice would it be to just go up to this world and just be able to take cancer and just get rid of it? We never have to deal with it again. Sexual abuse and any type of abuse out there, how nice would it be just to be able to go and just get rid of it? Death, anger, anxiety, marital problems, problems with friendship, bullying. How nice would it be to get rid of all this stuff? If I had the power to do it, I would want to do this. So would you. The problem that we have is that what do we do when we get to this? This picture, this flower, this plant is a picture of my family on it. In all of creation, this to me is the most beautiful thing in all of creation. But in my honest moments, I know as much beauty as I see in this one, I also know that there's a lot of ugly in this. As much as I see the beauty and as much as I know that this is so much beauty in here. I also know that if the Apostle Paul says that he is the worst of sinners, I can only imagine what he's going to see when he sees this. What do we do with this? Of course, if we're judging this and what's ugly and what's not, I would guess that I would have to go. My dad probably would too. My mom can probably stay. But her cooking can get pretty ugly. Sorry. The question is, what do we do with this? Because if we're honest, and in these moments where we're truly honest with ourselves, we recognize that inside of each and every one of us, there's not only great beauty, but there's also a whole lot of ugly. That we all wrestle with sin and brokenness. What do we do with that? The master answered, no, because while you are pulling out the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. As nice as it would be to get rid of all the junk in this world, as nice as it would be to not have to deal with the mess and the weeds that are all too real in this world, I hope we can see that the decision to let all this stuff grow, there's a whole lot of love, grace, and mercy in that decision. The fact that God doesn't come in and get rid of all the brokenness and the evil in this world is a pretty awesome thing, because we know deep down that if he got rid of all the evil in this world, he'd have to get rid of me and he'd have to get rid of you. Because inside of each and every one of us, we have both. Our God is full of love and mercy, and this decision right here, as painful and as difficult as it is filled with love and mercy and grace. The question is, what's the plan? So what do we do? Verse 30 talks about a harvest. The harvest is a reminder that someday God's going to come and make all things right. It's a story of judgment. And judgment is something that it's an overarching theme all throughout Scripture. It's something that we see in Scripture all over the place, and yet it's not something that we talk about a whole lot. Yet God's judgment is real and it is coming. Revelation 20 gives us probably our most complete picture of what this judgment day is going to look like. And it says this: Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done and recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and the death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And that each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in this book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This is a pretty scary passage. It's a reminder that God's judgment is coming. It is a reminder that some point, each and every one of us are going to have to stand before the throne of God and be held accountable for the decisions that we made and the things that we have done. This is a wake-up call for any of us that are living a life of sin. This is a wake-up call for any of us that are doing things that we know that we shouldn't be doing anymore. As much as God allows us to do these things and gives us the free will to do it, there will be a day that we're going to be held accountable for it, and God's judgment will come. But God's judgment is not enough. In God's world, we're not here just to judge. But there's an element of restoration that we see in God's judgment. All throughout Scripture, where you see God's judgment, we also see his promise of restoration. Where Revelation 20 finishes, Revelation 21 picks up, and we hear God's promise of restoration. Revelation 21 says this: Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first earth has passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, and no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old things has passed away. There is a day when all this stuff will come and it will be changed. All this stuff will be made new. There will be a day, a point where there will be no more weeds. There will be no more ugliness. There will be no more brokenness that we have to deal with. There will be a day when all that is left is the beautiful, wonderful things of this world. God's judgment is not meant to scare us into better behavior. God's judgment is a promise that that God hears our cries for justice and that justice will someday come and make all things new. What's the plan? The plan is that there will be a day of judgment, but that judgment comes with a beautiful promise of restoration to make all things new. So as we wrap this thing up, what is the point of all this? What do we walk away with here? I guess first and foremost, let's remember exactly where we're at in the story. We're living in a time where there is both good and bad, and we see it everywhere we go. We live in a time where there's so much good and there's so much brokenness, and we're going to see this all around us. And so it just adds to the importance to just take time to look around and just soak in the beauty. Sit and wonder and look for the beauty of this world because it is in there. It is out there and it is ready for there and created for us to enjoy. So this week, as we go out into this world, let's look for that beauty and let's just sit in the wonder and the enjoyment of that beauty. Second challenge is just the fact that we are called to live among the weeds. This is why the Bible spends so much time and Jesus spends so much time just talking about the importance of being light in the darkness. We're reminded that we need to be salt so that we can make a difference in this world. So as we're sitting there in this world full of good and bad, may we live our life in such a way that the good is seen and the beautiful things of this world start to overshadow the dark things of this world. And our third challenge and our third walk away is just to remember that all this stuff is going somewhere. That everything that we are experiencing, that all of creation, all of Scripture is moving somewhere. And that the way things are today is not the way it's going to be. That there will be a day where Christ returns and that all the bad things are going to be bound up and thrown into the fire. That there will be a day where God comes back and makes things new. That He makes things right. So as we sit there and we struggle with the ugly things of this world, just know that this is not the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way it ought to be. And there will be a day where all this comes and is made new. Let's live in that promise and let's live with that hope. Let's pray. Dear gracious God, we come before you and we are just so grateful that you have created this world and you have created us and that you have looked down and made it all so good. God, here in this week and in this moment, may we look out there and may we see all the beauty that you have created. May we enjoy this creation that you've given us, and may we just sit and sit and wonder at all that you have done. May we live in such a way that we add more beauty to this world and not more brokenness to this world. May we live in such a way that we add light to the darkness. God, we pray for those who are stuck in the brokenness, those who it's tough to see life outside of the weeds that they are surrounded in and are currently living in. God, for those people that are hurting and struggling here today, may you make your grace and your love just so abundantly clear to them. May they find peace and rest in you. God, may we find comfort through you and you alone. And may we know that we are created on purpose and with a purpose. And in this week, may we go out there and live the life that you have created us to live. Lord, this we pray. Amen.